You see, the disciples were unaware that Jesus was paying attention to what was going on in their life, so they got afraid. Because we always get afraid when we think God isn't paying attention. God, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. I'm out here on my own. I'm in the dark. And I'm sinking. I don't know why it is. We know this is true, but you forget. You do it all the time. You forget that God pays attention to every single detail of your life.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When You Feel You're Sinking.
You know, one time, the night before Jesus was to go to the cross, he's with his 12 disciples, and Peter's kind of bragging, and he says, Lord, I would die for you. I would die for you. Now, Jesus loves Peter, but he also knows he's a little impulsive. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning. Why? He already knew it. But he said, don't worry about it. Because I've already prayed for you. I've already prayed for you, Peter, that God, that you'll be strong through this, that you won't lose your faith through it. And when you come back to me after you repent of having denied me, which I know you're going to do, use your example to strengthen other people who are going through tough times. Here's what he said. Look at the next verse, Luke 22:32. Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be strong when you come back to me. He tells this to Peter right after he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to deny me three times. What had Jesus done? He'd already prayed for Peter in the storm he was going to go through. And the point is, Jesus has already prayed for me through what I'm going to go through this year. And Jesus has already prayed for you and what you're going to go through this year. In fact, what is Jesus doing right now? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what is Jesus doing in heaven? Playing cards? I mean, really, what's he doing in heaven right now? He came to earth, died on the cross for our sins, rose again to show that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, goes back to heaven. The Bible says that right now, while he's in heaven, Jesus' job is praying for his children. That's what he's doing for you. He is interceding. That means when you talk to somebody else on the behalf of someone else, he's interceding for you. Look at this verse, Romans 8:34. When you're going through tough times, when you're being tempted, when you're failing, when you're losing your faith, it says, who condemns us? Well, not Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus, who died and then was raised back to life and is now, notice, at the right side of God, interceding for us. Circle is now and circle interceding. That's what Jesus is doing. He's praying for you to make it through your storms. He is now interceding for us. Now, it's great to have people praying for you. I love it when you pray for me. In fact, I can feel it. And when people don't pray for me, I can tell the difference when I'm being prayed for and when I'm not. I can tell that difference. It's one thing to have people pray for you, but how'd you like to have the Son of God praying for you? That's a good thing. Why? Because his prayers are always answered. And the Bible says no matter what you're going through right now, Jesus is praying for you. He's on your side. If you've trusted him as your Savior, one of the things he's doing is interceding for you. Second thing Jesus does when you're in a storm, he notices my struggle. He prays for me before it happens. And the second thing is he notices my struggle, the storm I'm going through. The Bible says in Mark 6:48, it says, Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. They're trying to keep the ship afloat and trying to get back to shore. They were straining at the oars, and he saw it. He sees where you're straining. Jesus sees where you're struggling. You see, the disciples were unaware that Jesus was paying attention to what was going on in their life, so they got afraid. Because we always get afraid when we think God isn't paying attention. God, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. I'm out here on my own. I'm in the dark, and I'm sinking. I don't know why it is. We know this is true, but you forget. You do it all the time. You forget that God pays attention to every single detail of your life.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
I don't know why it is. We know this is true, but you forget. You do it all the time. You forget that God pays attention to every single detail of your life. God knows when you have bad breath. God knows when you didn't get enough sleep last night. God knows when your stomach is upset. He knows when your mind is upset because you just got a phone call that either scared you or freaked you out or worried you or whatever. He knows your emotions. The Bible says He has every hair on your head numbered. The Bible says He knows every detail of your life. Look at this verse. Job 31:4. Job's going through all these problems, and he says, He sees everything I do and counts every step I take. You don't even count every step you take, but God does. That's how detailed He is in your life. In fact, God knows your life far, far better than you do. He notices a growth on your hand before you notice it. He notices something that's out of whack in your life before you notice it. He cares about every detail, and He's paying attention. Now, not only does Jesus see when I'm going through this storm, I'm out of work, I'm going in debt, I'm in a conflict with my husband or my wife or whatever it is, He sees it. He also, this is even better, sympathizes with it. The Bible says this, Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way that we are, but He didn't sin. Why can Jesus sympathize with the storms you go through? Because He went through them. God became a human being. God came to earth. That's what Christmas is all about. God came in human form, and He came as Jesus Christ, and He lived as a human being. So He goes, you having problems right now? Been there, done that. Because God became a human incarnation, He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be frustrated. He knows what it's like to be criticized. He knows what it's like to be confused and in the dark and not knowing what's going on. He knows what it's like to have temptations of every possible kind. Because he says, been there, done that. I was a human being. And so I know exactly, so I can sympathize with you. So when you talk to God about the storm you're in, he's not going, I wonder what that's like. Because he's been there. He knows the tension. He knows the tension that you feel in your life. He prays before it happens, and he notices my struggle. The third thing Jesus does while I'm going through a storm is he comes at my moment of desperation. He comes at my moment of desperation. At the very moment I'm ready to give up, that is the time he shows up in my life. Not a moment sooner and not a moment too late. He comes to me at my moment of desperation. The Bible says this, Mark chapter 6. About the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus, went out to them walking on the lake. Now this verse is filled with truth. So let's take it apart. First it says, about the fourth watch. Now what is the fourth watch? The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay? So these guys are exhausted. They have been fighting a storm now for at least 9 hours. Rowing hard, trying to save the boat, trying to save their lives, and at least 9 hours. Now, let me give you the background again. Jesus, where he'd done the miracle, he puts them in the boat. Bethsaida is only 2 hours up the shoreline. All they have to do is get in the boat. They should have been there 7 hours ago. It's not a hard trip. It's kind of like Gilligan's Island, a three-hour tour. But sometimes a storm comes and you're blown way off schedule. Have you ever had a storm blow you out of the water? Have you ever had a storm blow you off course? Some of you are off course right now. You go, I had no intention of being right here today, where I am now, in my job, in my career, in my marriage, in my family, in my finances. You have been blown way off course by situations you couldn't control. Rogue winds of the economy, rogue winds of other people, rogue winds of people who meant to harm you, rogue winds of people who betrayed you. And storms have come in your life, and you have been blown off course. You should be in Bethsaida by now. It's only 2 hours away. It's 9 hours later, and you're not only not there, you're miles out at sea, in the dark, all alone, and about to die. And the waves are lapping up against your boat, the waves are lapping in your boat, and the waves are lapping over your boat, and you're scared to death. We've now given up hope of getting to Bethsaida. We just want to get back to safety. But we can't even get there. We've been rowing for 9 hours and we can't even get back to shore, much less get to the original life goal, life plan that we had set up for our lives. And the storm has blown them way, way off course. So they are simply exhausted. But they're also frustrated because they've worked hard at rowing. And as I said, they're not even trying to get Bethsaida anymore. They just want to get safety. Some of you had these big dreams for your life, and you gave up on those a long time ago. You just said, can I make it? Can I get out of debt? Can I survive? No progress. The same thing that happened to these guys, the disciples, happened to the sailors in the story of Jonah. The Bible says this on the screen, Jonah 1:13. The sailors there, the men did their best, they're in a storm too, did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And some of you, this perfectly describes your life right now. Your life isn't getting calmer, it's getting wilder. It's getting weirder. It's getting more stressful, not less stressful. And you're trying hard you've given up on the original goal. You're just trying to get back to shore. And you've been working for 9 hours, and you're at the moment of desperation. Now, what does Jesus do when you're at your moment of desperation? I love this. Look at the verse again there on your outline. About the fourth watch of the night, he, read it with me, went out to them. Notice, he didn't say, you guys come to me, because they couldn't get to him. He goes out to them. When you're at your point of desperation, Jesus comes to you. I like that. What a God. He doesn't wait for me to get to him, because I can't get to him. I'm stuck in a boat that's sinking in the middle of the sea. But he comes to you. I love the fact that Jesus did not stand on the shoreline and shout instructions. Hey, try going this way. When you're in a storm, you don't need advice. You need a miracle. Okay? You need somebody to show up, God to show up, and to come out to you. And this is what Jesus did. He went out to where they were. He intervened in their storm. And friends, that's the gospel. That God doesn't stand on the shoreline telling us what to do. He comes out and meets us in our pain, in our fear, in our depression, in our storm, in our discouragement. He comes to us. What a God. You see, you may feel abandoned right now, but you're not. You may feel abandoned, but you are not. The Bible says this in John 14, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. Count on it. Now, two questions. When I'm in a storm and I'm going under, financially or any other way, and I feel like I'm sinking, how do I know he's coming? Because he says so. You say, when's he going to come? I'll tell you, listen, he comes in the ninth hour. He didn't come in hour number two, or hour number three, or hour number four, or hour number five. They had been struggling for 9 hours. Why didn't he come the moment the first little whisk of bad weather come up? Because it wouldn't have been a miracle. And because he wanted to teach them. He was more interested in their character than their comfort. And so he waits to the ninth hour. Why? He's waiting for you to give up your complete self-reliance. When you get to the point and you go, okay, I thought maybe I still 10% of this, I could get it done. When you try to stop making things work on your plan and you give up your plan and your brilliance and your ideas, and you say, Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you. That's the ninth hour, at the moment of desperation. And he doesn't come in the fourth hour. He doesn't come in the fifth hour. He comes at the ninth hour. And how does he come? Listen to this. He comes walking on the very problem that scares you. He's walking on the white caps. What are they afraid of? The waves. We're afraid that the waves are going to kill us. What does Jesus do? He just comes walking on them. Jesus is making a point here. I just want you guys to know that whatever's over your head is under my feet. So what are you worried about? Whatever's over your head is under my feet. What are you worried about? He walks on the very problem that scares you. Think about this. Since Jesus created water, it's his idea. God created it, H2O. God thought up water. Since God created water, he can stop water. He can give water. He can get water out of a rock. He can part the water. He can walk on water. He can do whatever he wants to with water because he made it. I don't have any problem with Jesus walking on water. Why? He invented it. So God is in control of all of the elements, wind, air, sun, sky, land, everything. What is he doing walking on water? He's God. That's what he is. He's God. And that leads us to the fourth thing Jesus does in a storm. He shows me his true identity. Jesus shows me his true identity. You only learn what Jesus is really like in the storms of life. And in the storms of life, you see, he's not a mere man. He's not just a nice teacher. He's not an ethical leader. He is God, the creator of the universe. Mark chapter 6. When the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. You know, I love this. The word here in Greek, it's a ghost, is the word we get phantom from. like Phantom of the Opera. It's a phantom. Why? Because you don't normally be in the middle of a river or a lake or an ocean and you're in a storm and somebody comes walking by. That's not our normal perceptions. And so it's a ghost, they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, what is Jesus doing? By walking on water, Jesus revealing he's far more than a man. If the disciples had doubted that Jesus was, maybe he's just a nice prophet and he can do some miracles. Now he's walking on water. He's saying, I'm God. And Jesus does three things here. He gives them a reassurance, he gives them a challenge, and he gives them a revelation. He gives them a reassurance. He says, take courage. He gives them a challenge. Don't be afraid. And he gives them a reassurance. He says, it is I. Now, I want you to circle that on your outline. It is I. That's not even really the best translation. Because what Jesus actually says there is not, it is I. He says, I am. I am. That's what he says. In the Greek, it's two words. Ego, I me. Ego, I me. Ego is the word we get ego from. Like ego trip, it is the Greek word for I. Ego or ego means I. And ego, I me simply means I am. And so what Jesus actually says, when he walks out on the water, these guys, he goes, take courage. Don't be afraid. I am. What does that mean? I am is the name of God. When Moses asked God, Lord, when I go to these people in Egypt and they tell me that, and I tell them God spoke to me and they say, what's God's name? What am I supposed to say? And God said, tell them I am sent you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I love to end our broadcast by reading letters from people like you. Here's one from Melissa, who lives in Colombia. Pastor Rick, I just want to say thanks to you and thanks to God for helping me understand the Bible and for helping bring so many souls to Jesus Christ. I've been blessed because you put your messages online for free. And because of that free ministry, I have access to the truth. I cannot thank you enough. She says, I want to help, and I want to give what God commands to give me to give so that His message can reach the entire world. Thank you, Melissa from Colombia. Well, Melissa, thank you. Thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for your financial gift, and thank you for caring about people who haven't heard the good news. You see, when we work together, we're able to do things we cannot do on our own. Together, we reach people that would never be reached any other way. And when you get to heaven, we're going to celebrate all the souls that have come to know Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening, thank you for supporting, and thank you for praying. And I want to say the same thing to all of the rest of you who are doing that too. God bless you, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please write him at rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.